The share today is in the main going to be a repeat of something that I said, the share that I gave at the Shabbaton, but I've come up with a whole new approach, amazing, a whole new approach. It's going to be refreshing, it's going to be beautiful, and our friends Sarah and Avram Goodmacher over there are going to get the prize today. They will be hearing this year, though in new. You'll see something new that's going to excite you. For the fourth time, I believe. For the fourth or the fifth. I said it at the Ramada over Yom Tov, and every time you say it, you come up with something new. And this morning blew my mind, so I'm going to share that with you. First of all, Gemar Chasin Atov, everybody. Good, Gesund Yor. Is that now good? All right. There is a question that is dealt with by the Achronim, something that's discussed by many, including the Meshe Chochma, the Meir Simcha, the Minchas Chinuch, the Soloveitchik, and I'm going to hope to add a little bit of my own to this discussion. There are certain parts of the Shir that came up during the course of the year in different contexts, but they're all going to come together here, and I think today in a new and refreshing approach. And I feel good about it, so I'm going to share it with you. The Rambam. Number one, we have the Rambam, the first Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. Kol HaMitzvot Shabbat Torah, the Rambam says, all mitzvahs in the Torah, bein haseh, bein lo saseh, regardless of whether it is positive or negative, im avar odam alachat mehen, if a person transgressed any one of them, bein bezodom, bein bishkogo, regardless of whether he did it intentionally or unintentionally. Kishayaseh tshuva, when he will do tshuva, v'yoshuv mecheto, and he will turn back from sinning, chayev lehidvadot, he is obligated to confess, to express it verbally. A simple reading of the words of the Rambam should lead you to the conclusion, a conclusion that may be surprising, shocking, exciting, perplexing. The Rambam does not say that there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. Everybody's talking about tshuva. This is the month of tshuva. This is the period of tshuva. We are in the Aseret Yimei tshuva. But the Rambam has not said you have to do tshuva. The Rambam has said a person who is going to do tshuva, when he will, and he will turn back from his sin, there's an obligation. And that obligation is to express it verbally, to say vidui, or shamnu, bagadnu, gozalnu, al chet shechotonu lefanecha, anachnu avavoseinu chotonu, the vidui, the confession. And the Rambam is going to make it even more clear. Person has to say vidui before God, blessed is he, shenemar, and he brings a pasuk in Torah. The pasuk appears in Parshat Maso in Sefer Bamidbar, and it's talking about somebody who brings a sacrifice because he sinned. So the pasuk says, Isho Isho Kiyasu Mikol Chatota Adam, a man or a woman who will do any sin of man, v'hidvadu et chatatam asher asu, they shall confess the sin that they did. They have to give verbal expression to it. Zed vidui dvarim. That v'hizvados is verbal vidui. They have to say it out with their mouths. Rasalvejic writes in one place that human being is one who's always finds it difficult to come face to face with the truth about himself, and there may be all sorts of thoughts that move through our minds, but we have difficulty formulating them in sentences and saying it out. And therefore, any thought of tshuva could be a thought that is ephemeral, fleeting, passing. It has to be given life. It has to be made concrete. The moment that a person says it out of his mouth, that tshuva takes on a life of its own. It becomes real. It impacts on him. That was something that we talked about on at the Shabbaton. The idea of beficha ubilevavcha. The Torah says it is in your mouth and in your heart. We talked about it last week. Beficha ubilevavcha la'asoto. There is the relationship of mouth and heart. And you remember everything we said last week. We talked about tefillah. We talked about kavana in tefillah. And that in tshuva as well, there's levavcha, but there's ficha. And picha, expressing it with your mouth, is that which impacts upon your heart. Raman goes on to say, vidui zeh mitzvat aseh. This vidui is a positive commandment. He doesn't say tshuva is a positive commandment. He says vidui zeh. This confession is mitzvat aseh. Ketzad mitvadeh. How does one say vidui? Omer. He says the following: On Hashem, I rebelled from Chatosi of Visi Pashati. I erred, I sinned, I acted rebelliously. Lefanecho, before you, Vasisi Kach Mekach, and I did such and such. Vaydi Nichanti Vavoshti B'Maasai, and I regret and I'm embarrassed of what I've done. Ula Olam Eini Chozer LeDavar Zer. I'm never going to do that again. Zehu Ikaro Shel Vidui. That is the substance and the essence of vidui. There are a number of components here, and in a moment we're going to see the Rambam enunciating more comprehensively the precise steps that make up tshuva shleim, or complete tshuva. So the reading of the Rambam seems to leave the impression that there is no mitzvah of tshuva. Rav Soloveitchik, in one of his first shiurim in the Sefer Al HaTshuva, brings his uncle, the Avodas HaMelech, who also says there's no mitzvah of tshuva, and he knows that everybody is aware of the Meshech Chochmah and the Minchas Chinuch, but the Rav takes exception, says can't be. There has to be a mitzvah of tshuva. There has to be a mitzvah of tshuva. I'm not going to go into a comprehensive study of what the Rav says. I'm only going to comment on a number of things. He gives two proofs. He brings a number of others, but he gives two of the proofs that he gives that there must be a mitzvah of tshuva is number two and number three. Number two is a halacha in chapter two of Hilchot Tshuva, where the Rambam says, Umat hi hatshuva. What is tshuva? Rav says, if the Rambam is saying, Mahi hatshuva, that means there must be a mitzvah of tshuva, and he's asking, and what is this tshuva that the Torah tells us about? So here, he is going to enunciate very clearly the three pillars upon which tshuva stands. One, that the sinner shall set aside his sin and remove it from his thoughts, the yigmar v'libo, and make a decision in his heart, shelo ya'asehu od, he's not going to do it again. The fact is that in this sentence alone, we already have the components of tshuva. Shenemar, how do we know step one is that he should set aside the sin, as it says, Pasuk in Yishayahu, and we're going to come back to this halacha. Pasuk in Yishayahu says, Yazov Rosho Darko, the Ish Oven Machshivosov, a sinner, the evil, the bad person, Yazov Rosho Darko, the Rosho, should set aside the way in which he has been conducting himself, the Ish Oven Machshivosov, and a person should remove the evil thoughts in his mind. The chain, Next component is Yitnachem al Sha'avar. He should regret that which happened, which he did in the past. Shenema, as it says, Ki acharei shuvi nichamti. After I did tshuva, I regretted. Now this is a little strange, because we're really talking about it would seem that there is regret that precedes tshuva, and Yirmiyahu is talking about regret that's after tshuva. So there are two kinds of regret. There's a pre-tshuva regret, which what's the in terminology now? It kickstarts the tshuva. I know about jump starts. Today I saw in the paper kickstart, and I don't know what it's on. We're jump starting the peace process all the time, you know. Jump start, kickstart, keep up the momentum. Everything has to keep moving. All right, I couldn't help that. I just had to get that out, you know. The flesh bulbs are going to pop in Washington, and the whole process is going to begin. And there's going to be peace on earth and goodwill to all terrorists. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, there's something that jump starts tshuva, and that's charata. A person should regret what he's been doing. But what's involved in that regret? And we're going to start coming to another significant aspect of today's year. What starts that is, I did something wrong. I feel so bad. Why did I do it? It was an act of rebelliousness against God. And what happened to me as a result of that sin? I had once had a relationship of love, compassion, a good feeling between me and God, and I ruined it. I ruined it. I destroyed it all by a silly chait that I did. And now he does tshuva. Then after he does tshuva, he begins to become overwhelmed with a sense of good being, that he has regained his great friend. He has the Rebbeinu Shalom again, as there's a relationship between the two of them. And when he feels the warmth and the beauty of that relationship, there is even a greater degree of regret. Why did I do that to begin with? Why did I cause that break and that rupture in this most important of all relationships, the relationship between man and his God? It's a different kind of regret that comes afterwards. And I'm just going to throw out two terms, and these two terms are going to become important later in this year. This is going to be the chiddush in today's approach. I have two relationships. The Jew relates to God in two ways. Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king. Tirachem Av Albonim, as a father has mercy on children, so have mercy on us. Im Kivonim, Im Kavadim. Either like sons or like servants. Im Kivonim, if our relationship is a relationship of children, Rachameinu Kirachem Av Albonim, have mercy on us, the way a father has mercy on his children. Im Kavadim, and if the relationship is the relationship of servants to a king, Im Kavadim, Einenu L'chot Teluyot, we look, our eyes look up to you, Ad She'Totzi Ka'or Mishpateinu, until you, king who judges us, is going to bring our judgment out to light. The charata, I want to say that the regret that comes before the process of tshuva, the regret that begins the process of tshuva, is the regret that comes from a servant who has acted rebelliously toward his king. When one does tshuva, and the relationship is renewed, a healing has taken place. Do you know what the how the Jew feels? He feels very that Rav Shimon is not only our king, he's our father. How did I do something that was in opposition to my father's will? How did I do it? So there's a charata at the beginning, which is the regret of the break in the relationship between a servant and his master, and then comes the more profound regret, the regret of a child who acted so poorly in relation to his father, and that's going to make a great deal of difference. Acharei shuvi nichanti. Then the Rambam goes on to say the most difficult of all, the third step in the process of tshuva. After one has forsaken, set the sin aside, after he has already gone through the regret of the past, the yoid all of Yodea Talumas, the God who knows all secrets, will be able to testify about him, Shalom Yoshev Mazachet La'olam, that he's never, ever again going to do that sin. Can you imagine what it means that God should be able to testify about us that we're never going to do it again? Shenema, as it says, V'lo nomar od Eloheinu L'maaseh Yodeinu, we will never again say Eloheinu, our God, L'maaseh Yodeinu, to that which we made with our hands. What's that pasuk talking about? That pasuk is a pasuk in Hosea. Not only is it a pasuk in Hosea, it's a pasuk in the Haftorah of Shabbos, Shuva, this coming Shabbos. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, return to God, your God of Israel, ki chashavta be'avonecha, because you stumbled, you made a mistake by sinning. The Navi says, take words with you. The Shuvu Hashem, express it. You hear the vidui in the words of Hosea. And Hosea tells us, you know what we should say? We should say the following. Ashur lo yoshi enu Assyria, one of the superpowers of the day. Lo yoshi enu is not going to save us. Al sus lo nirkov, we're not going to go riding on a horse. Horse represented the might of ancient Egypt. Egypt, the symbol of Egypt was the horse. Horses came from Egypt. Al sus lo nirkov, we're not going to ride to victory on the back of Mitzrayim. You can't trust Asher. You can't trust Mitzrayim. V'lo nomar od Eloheinu l'maaseh yodeinu. And the third part of the video is we will no longer say Eloheinu l'maaseh yadeinu. But you know what? If Ashur won't help us and Mitzrayim won't help us, we'll take care of ourselves. We will take care of ourselves. Our army, our boys, we're going to do it all. Our statesmen, our politicians, in zechach v'yavzeh. Lo nomared, we're not going to make that mistake ever again of saying about Maaseh Yodeinu, that which we do with our own hands, that it is our God. I've quoted often the Rav who said, Salvation said, you think that there's no idolatry in our days? You think that our Zaydas there in the period of the Shoftim, period of the judges and the period of the kings, they rubbed their pants out, bowing down before Baal and Ashtoreth and all the rest of those fashlugan idolatry and pagan and heathen images. But not us. We're clean. We're Mr. Clean. We are not idolaters. So he says you should know, remember, we're going back to the 20th century, the last century. He said that in the 20th century, the worst idolatry of all appeared on the face of this earth. And the name of the idol was man. At the beginning of the century, man thought that he had within his power to resolve all of the problems of mankind. It was the day that medicine was making major strides forward. There were the microbe hunters, there were vaccinations. What they were doing,
and a little further in, Orville and Wilbur Wright flew that Farschlugener machine about 100 meters at Kitty Hawk. Ford the Anti-Semit was already, I think he was making the thing that jump-started the Model T Ford. Man was making such kind of strides forward, they think they made strides forward. There wasn't a single cell phone in the whole world at the turn of the last century. But man thought that he has it in his ability, he's going to resolve the problems of mankind. Medicine, technology, science, physics, it's unbelievable what they were doing. The machine gun had already been invented, you understand? And then before you knew it, there were biplanes, you know? Now these pilots over there going into their... But when you look at it, I always say, if we could remove one century from history, the one that's at the top of the list is the 20th century. The great man who worshipped his own power became the worst beast of all in the 20th century. And it was not only Hitler, it was Stalin, it was Mao Zedong, Friedrich. There were enough big Rishoyim who killed hundreds of millions of people. The Navi is saying, V'lo nomar od Eloheinu l'ma'aseh yadeinu. We're not going to look at the work of our own hands as being the deity, meaning that we are worshipping ourselves. The Tzorech L'Svados, the Sfasov, and the Chamam says again, you have to express with your lips the Lomar Inyonu Seilu Shekom Adolivo, and to say these things that one decided in his heart. So the Chav says, here we see there's a mitzvah of tshuva, and the Rambam enunciates it clearly. The next is in chapter 7 of the Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam says the following, Kol Anviim Kulam Tzivu Al HaTshuva, all of the prophets commanded us to do tshuva. How do you like that? There it is, Kol Anviim Kulam Tzivu Al HaTshuva. All the prophets commanded us to do tshuva. Then Yisrael Nigol and Elu B'tshuva, and Israel are going to be redeemed only through tshuva. Ukvar Hivticha Torah. Now the moment you hear the sentence that Geula is only going to come through repentance, your heart may fall into your stomach and thinking, if it depends on our doing tshuva, oy vey, who knows where there will ever be redemption. So the Rambam tells you immediately, Ukvar Hivticha Torah, the Torah is already guaranteed. Shesof Yisrael Lasos Tshuva Vesof Galusam. At the end of their exile, they're going to do tshuva at the end of their exile. Sof Yisrael Lasos Tshuva Vesof Galusam Umiyad Heim Nigolin. Umiyad Heim Nigolin. Immediately they will be redeemed. Shedema. He brings a pasuk here. Malkova. Yeah. Kol Anaviim. And what pasuk does the Rambam bring to tell us that God promised and guaranteed that we will do tshuva and we will be redeemed? He brings the pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim, V'hoyo ki yavo alecha kol hadvarim ha'elu, when all of these things will happen to you, v'shav tov Hashem elokecha, and you will return to God your God, v'shav Hashem elokecha et shvutcha. Oh, how many times we say this in davening, v'shav Hashem elokecha et shvutcha, God will return your captivity, v'nichamecha, and he will have mercy on you, v'shav v'kibetzo mekola amash, v'shav Hashem elokecha et shvutcha, he will gather you in from all of the nations that were there. So it's very fascinating. So the Chof says, Kol Anviim Kulam Tzivu Al HaTshuva. There's a mitzvah of tshuva. All the prophets commanded to do tshuva. So I just want to say, on these two halachas in the Rambam, that I believe these two halakhos in the Rambam prove precisely the opposite, that there is no mitzvah of tshuva. The halakha that we're dealing with right now, the halakha kol hanaviim kulam tzivu ala tshuva, all the prophets commanded Jews to do tshuva. I don't believe the Rambam writes by any other mitzvah kol hanaviim kulam tzivu al hashabbos. All the Nevi'im commanded to do. Rambam doesn't write that. He doesn't write kol hanaviim kulam tzivu to eat kosher. No. You know why all the Nevi'im told us to do tshuva? Because there is no mitzvah of tshuva. So they're coming along to tell us good advice. Chesed, go ahead and do tshuva so you can say that redoing and rebuild the relationship with God. Otherwise we're going to be in big trouble. Nevi'im are advising the Jewish people that they should do tshuva. But there is no obligatory mitzvah in Torah to do tshuva. And of all things, the Rambam disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam is the one who says that there is a mitzvah of tshuva. And how does he know that there's a mitzvah of tshuva? He brings this pasuk of the Shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. You shall return to God, your God. This pasuk that the Rambam is using to tell us that there's a guarantee that someday in the future we're going to do tshuva, and therefore is not talking about a mitzvah of tshuva, is the pasuk that Ramban uses to say that there is a mitzvah of tshuva. It all depends on how you translate the word v'shavta. You can translate the word v'shavta in one of two ways. You shall do tshuva. That's the Ramban. Mitzvah of tshuva. V'shavta can also be translated, and you will. Someday in the future, v'shavta, you will do tshuva. The Rambam learns this pasuk as saying, Zarzich nish, don't worry, Klal Yisrael, you will do tshuva. God will make sure of it. He can make sure of it in one of two ways: suffering, or such miracles will be done to the Jewish people that we will all prostrate ourselves before Him and say, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. We of course pray that it should be the second way. Let's go back to the halacha of the four Umayi HaTshuva, where the Rambam enunciates the what is tshuva? Seems there's a mitzvah. So I say no, this halacha proves that there is no mitzvah. If there's a mitzvah of tshuva, then when the Rambam has to clarify for us the three pillars upon which tshuva stands, you know how he does it? That you have to leave the sin and remove it from your mind, he brings a pasuk from Yeshayahu to tell us that you have to regret the past. He brings a pasuk from Yirmiyahu to tell us that you should decide in your mind never to do it again. He brings a pasuk in Hosea. He couldn't have found anything in all of Torah to describe, to define, to clarify for us the mitzvah of tshuva? No, because there is no tshuva in the Torah, my opinion. No mitzvah of tshuva. By the way, let's run through this Rambam again. Number two, Umayya tshuva, who shiaz v'achotei cheto, v'yisirim v'mishachto, v'yigim v'libim shalai aseo, shenema, yazov, rosho, darko, v'yishav v'machivoto. You know where that passage comes from? That was yesterday's Haftorah, the Haftorah of a fast day. The next pasuk the Rambam brings from Yirmiyahu, Ki acharei shuvi nuchamdi, that was the Haftorah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The third pasuk that he brings, V'lo nomar od eloheinu l'masa yadeinu, is going to be the Haftorah of Shabbos Shuva. The three psukim that he brings are three Haftorahs that we will have said within 1 week. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, which is immediately followed by Tzom Gedaliah. And if Tzom Gedaliah is here, then Shabbos Shuva is around the corner. And that's going to be this coming Shabbos. Alright, so if I'm saying that there is no mitzvah of tshuva, so what is there? what is there? Tell you what there is. It begins with the Malbim in number 5. You don't have to look. I'm going to tell you what the Malbim says. It says at the beginning of Parshas Truma that God says to the Jewish people, I want you to build a dwelling place for me, a Mishkan. The Yikhuli Truma, they shall take unto me Truma, gold, silver, this, that, all sorts of things. So the Malbim says, why does it not say simple and straight, the Yitnuli Truma, they shall give unto me donations? So the Malbim says, oh no, God didn't want to write V'yitnu, they shall give, because the word V'yitnu would mean that there is a mitzvah and you have to do it. You know what God wants? That Jews should bring donations for His Mishkan out of the fullness of their free will. Nidvat libo, God wants the donation that comes from the heart. There is absolutely no coercion whatsoever. The point that we're going to make in this year is the following. Not everything has to be a mitzvah. There are values in Torah that are not expressed by being one of the 613 mitzvahs. And if it's not one of the 613 mitzvahs, there's nothing beyond it. So I'm going to tell you, there is. You know what I'm going to call it? I'm going to call it Ritzon Hashem. There are values that I call the will of God, and we know what the will of God is, and I will give examples of it. And you know what leads me here? There are these two areas that in a sense require our attention. One, the mitzvahs. God commanded 613 mitzvahs. I have to fulfill them. I also have to be attuned to something a little more delicate, which is called Ritzon Hashem. And I'm going to prove it. But where does it all flow from? Because I say our relationship with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is a dual relationship. It's a relationship of Avinu, and it's a relationship of Malkeinu. We have the relationship of son to father, and the relationship of servant before master. Master commands, servant does. A father expresses a will. The tata or the mamet doesn't have to say everything out clearly. Bring me a cup. A child should be tuned in to what the will of the father or the mother is. Can you imagine? I'm thinking of it now. We're going to be talking about bracha. Can you imagine saying a mitzvah, Asher titzonu b'mitzosa v'tzivonu al kibud av v'ein? I bring my father a glaze of tea, and I say, Asher titzonu b'mitzosa. If my father would give me a pachin punim, and you'd see five hands on my face, he'd be right. You don't do for a father and mother because vitzivonu. There's a relationship of love, a powerful relationship. And that relationship is not something that expresses itself in a command. Our dual relationship with the relationship of Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu means that there is something that is called God's will, as I will show you. And that doesn't have to be legislated. And then the relationship of Malkeinu, a king. A king is the one who gives orders, instructions, edicts, laws, statutes, manifestos. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam has expressed his will. He would like a dwelling place amongst the Jewish people. The only time in history, the only people, he wants to dwell in their midst. So what should be the instinctive response? An outpouring of donations. I can have a share in building a house for Avim Shabbat Shemayim, the top in heaven. This is not something that has to be legislated. Okay, fellas, I'm going to start calling out. I want to hear your pledges right now. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, not good enough, Levi, not good enough. Go a little higher. Oh, no, no, no. This is not a campaign for a construction project somewhere on earth. We're talking about building a home for the Reuven Shimon, for the Tata. The Tata wants a home. It's his will. There should be an outpouring of our giving to that. That's what the Malbim is saying. So of course that takes me in all sorts of other directions. I once told you some years ago that all of this began with a question that I saw that was asked in the Tshuva Svidei Eish by Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, where he asked the question. I remember seeing this 40 years ago. Amazing that I remember it. I said it over 100 times, so of course I remember it. Anyway, here it is. He asked the question on Purim. There's a mitzvah to send Mishloach Manos. Why don't we make a bracha shechit shonu v'mitzosu v'tzivonu on Mishloach Manos? Why don't we make a bracha? God commanded us to send Mishloach Manos. So he says, maybe you will say it's the same like the mitzvah of tzedakah. You don't make a bracha on tzedakah. Why? Because there's a rule, any mitzvah that needs two people for its fulfillment, you don't make a bracha. Bracha is only made when I alone can fulfill the mitzvah. So then he says, that's not going to help us with regard to Mishloach Manos. Because the fact is, the halacha is, that if I send Shaloch Manos to somebody and he says, no thank you. Oh, man, why did you go through all the trouble? What did you do? Alright, you know, take it, you know. I fulfilled the mitzvah. Why have I fulfilled the mitzvah? Because the purpose of the mitzvah Mishloach Manos is to create a sense of friendship, camaraderie, warmth between people. So the Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg says, do you know what's the easiest way to kill the whole intent of the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos? If you say, Asher Kitshonu v'mitzoso v'tzivonu. If the whole expression of my friendship is because v'tzivonu, because I was commanded, and therefore that may very well mean, as I always say, truth is I don't like you at all. I can't stand the sight of you. The only thing is, I have a mitzvah. I have to fulfill a mitzvah. Mishloach Manos. So I found something that the closest looking thing to an apple, you know, hardly edible, and I find an orange that has seen better years. And I send you the Shaloch Manos, and I tell you, I said, Yitzhon and Mitzvah Mitzvah. Finished. I've inherited the whole mitzvah. The purpose of the mitzvah is friendship. Friendship should not be coerced in any way. There should be no expression of coercion. So that gave me the idea there must be values in Torah that don't need mitzvah. That don't need mitzvah. You sinned against the Rebbein Shleilam. God has to tell you to do tshuva. You're crazy. You're out of your mind. You don't realize that you did something terrible. You know, I'm going to use my new approach. A father has to tell a son who has done something terrible to the father, you better do tshuva. What are you talking about? The son most probably will reach a point where he will walk around with a sense of such shame and such embarrassment. How in heaven's name did I do something like that to the tata and to the mama? A mitzvah yet? Son, repent. No. In the relationship of Avinu to the Rabbein Shimon, there's no necessity whatsoever to command. No mitzvah is necessary. You know, I can't help it. This is me. It's me. And you've heard this from me before, but I can't help it. There is a great deal of discussion halachic discussion, Rishonim, Achronim, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? Is there a mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz? The whole wide variety of opinions. It's a mitzvah min haTorah, it's a mitzvah min Rabbanon, it's a big Abeira, you name it, whatever opinion you want. And then there's an opinion somewhere in the middle there, which happens to be the opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and here I'm doing tshuva. I always do tshuva when I talk about that. I do personal tshuva when I talk about that Moshe's tshuva, responsa, about Eretz Yisrael. And I found out later it's brought by Rav Heschel Schachter in Panini Harav on the first page, that such was the opinion, as well as of Rav Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik, that the mitzvah of tshuva is not a mitzvah chiyuvit, it's not an obligatory mitzvah. I remember when I first saw that tshuva of Rav Moshe, I had difficulty with it. You know, he's not a Zionist. Alright? And then when I see it from Rav Soloveitchik, he was head of Mizrahi, and that's what he says. Until I realized one day that that's the greatest opinion of all. I had embraced the opinion of Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik with both hands. Because do you know what the essence of that opinion is? That there's no obligatory mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's not a mitzvah chiyuvit, it is only a mitzvah kiyumit. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you fulfill the mitzvah. And there it is. You know, oh boy, I've had conversations with people, Kutzlars, of course. What are you getting so excited about? Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, what are you talking about? Just one mitzvah? The Rambam anyway said it's not a mitzvah for you. What do you want? They don't understand. You know what it means? It means that I have the ability to fulfill from my own free will the wishes of God. Nothing coerces me. I don't have to come on Aliyah, but I choose to come because I know that the Tata wants me to live in Eretz Yisrael. I'm always fond, I love this story. I embellish it all the time. I make it better, I think, all the time. It's a great story. By the way, it's not even important to me anymore whether it's a figment of my imagination and it never happened, but I can believe that it happened. Here is this fellow, this rich dude in Chutz Laaretz, who gets a chavrusa and he starts studying for months the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, goes through the Rishonim, goes through the Achronim, goes through the Rambam, and there's a tremendous amount of talk about the Rambam. There's a great deal of discussion about the Rambam. Many who hold that according to the Rambam there is no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's going to fit in great now. Wonderful. Just like I say he holds there's no mitzvah of tshuva, there are those who say the Rambam doesn't hold that there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, this fellow prepares all of the background information. He calls up Rav Solizom and then he makes an appointment that he wants to come in such and such day and he wants to meet with him, and finally the big day comes. He arrives at the Ben Gurion Airport. He gets into a long stretch limousine, you understand, and only with Nissim and Nefloyes is the limousine able to get into the little guest hall in Shari Chesed where Rav Solizom Zalman lives, and big fella gets out, and then he looks up and he sees that he has to walk up all those steps. You ever there? A lot of steps to walk up. For people from Harnov, walking up the steps to Rav Shlomo Zalman was a piece of cake. Alright, he comes up to the top, he gets up there to Rav Shlomo Zalman, finally comes in, he's ushered into his presence, and he begins to pour it all out. He pours it all out. He's trying anyway. This sheet, that sheet. Rav Shlomo Zalman was an able yid, such a delicate neshama. What a soul! What a brilliant man. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says to him, "Sinish Vichtig, it's not important." This guy doesn't know how to react. He's been working on this for months, and here he's getting zapped, getting whacked right at the beginning of the conversation. But so he pays no attention to it, and he keeps going. And the Rambam says, and the Shemi Shmuel says, and Rosh Hashanah again says, "Sinisht Vichtik, it's not important." He's devastated. Now, if it would be a Chassidish story, I have to go through it for a third time. After the Shlomo Zalman says for the third time, "Sinisht Vichtik," and then finally, "What does the Chashiva mean?" So Shlomo Zalman says it doesn't make any difference whether it's a mitzvah in our Torah, whether it's midrabbanon, whether it is chiyuvit, whether it's kiyumit, doesn't make any difference. As an oif a chumash, open a chumash, and you'll see on every page that Ritzon Hashem, God's will, is that Jews should live in Eretz Yisrael. That's the only thing that's important. Now, when I say over the story, you know what Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying? We have an Avinu relationship with the Rabbeinu Shlomo. And that Avinu relationship, one has to know what is God's will. Open up a chumash, and if you're not blind, you'll see exactly. A whole Torah is about Eretz Yisrael. That's God's will. That doesn't have to be expressed through the form of a mitzvah. I declare, I decree, I legislate, I demand. That falls into the category of the Avinu mitzvahs. Avinu mitzvahs are mitzvahs where one is able to perform Ritzon Hashem. And that, of course, brought me to one of my editions over here, number 9. The famous Mishnah in Avos all of a sudden has tremendous meaning for me. Who are your Omer? Rabbi Gamliel used to say, "I say it so no kiditzonecha." Let his will be just like yours. What he wants, that's what you want. You know what Rabbi Gamliel is talking about? The father-son relationship between God and the Jewish people. And you know what will happen as a result of that? Kedeshia said it so necha kiditzono. So that he will take your will, what you want, he's going to make it into his will. We're talking about a completely different relationship. We're not talking here the relationship of Malkeinu. We're talking about the relationship of Avinu. Avinu, father, is based on Ritzon Ha'av, God's will. A tata knows, a child knows exactly what father and mother want. There are never any doubts about that. So then it's a matter of Tata and Mama have to berate you and command you. What are you talking about? Batel Ritzon Chom Ipnei Ritzono. If necessary, remove your will before his will. If he wants something, if he wants you not to do something, don't do it. So that he should remove the will of others, those who want to do evil to you, before your will. I say that Jews living in Eretz Yisrael have a right to expect, I don't know if that's the right word, but have a right to expect, we are all fulfilling Ritzon Hashem. Rabbeinu Shlomo, you're our Tata. We have certain things we're concerned about. We want you to destroy the enemies of Israel. Plain and simple. Macha Chorban over there. And we are the ones who can say it to him. People who are not tuned in to the Tzon Hashem can't do that. So I'm saying that there are two kinds of obligations, I don't have a better word, or responsibilities, to fulfill those mitzvahs that are in the category of God's Malkeinu dimension, 613. And then there's a whole relationship that is all based on God's will. And we know what His will, you know what His will is. Another proof that there is no mitzvah of tshuva, but it fits in to my new category that I established today. How did I not think of this? 20 years I've been talking about this. You know what? We get smarter every day. We get smarter every day. The brachos in Shmona Esrei. What the blessings of Shmona Esrei? What is the style? How does it work? Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, God, Shomei Atfilah, who listens to prayer. Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, God, Bonei Yerushalayim, build Yerushalayim. Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, God, Mevareich Hashanim, the one who blesses the years. Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Nidechei Amo Yisrael, who gathers in the dispersed of Israel. All of the brachas except one talk about what God does. And then there's the one bracha. The one bracha that's so different. Baruch Atah Hashem Horotzeh B'tshuva. It doesn't say, blessed are you, God, who demands tshuva, who commands us to do tshuva. Horotzeh B'tshuva. He wants it. Doesn't it fit in beautifully? You know what the bracha is saying? You know what we say three times a day in Shmona Esrei? Ritzon Hashem is that we should do tshuva. And that falls into the category of the Avinu relationship, not the Malkeinu relationship. And that's why the Rambam holds that there is no mitzvah of tshuva. What are you talking about? We have to command you to do tshuva. Tshuva is something that has to flow from the inner personality of the Jew. The only time the Rabbeinu Shalom enters the picture is you decided to do tshuva, the relationship between us, father and son, has been renewed. As a melech, as a king, I want to tell you, there's something formal you have to do. Say vidui. Vidui zeh mitzvat aseh. I have over here number 8, maybe one of the most significant proofs to everything that I'm saying. I'm not going to read it. I'll just tell it over to you. The Meiri, one of the great Rishonim, says that the highest level of tshuva is a person who arrives at tshuva not because of the fact that he's weak, doesn't have the koyach to do avedus. You know, mitzvahs, it takes koyach to do. You need energy to do a mitzvah. Wait a minute. Have to start building the sukkah and all the rest of the day. They run around for the Arba Minim. You know, we're the big heroes. And we forget the fact that the little ladies there in the house, you understand, cooking and cleaning and washing and taking care of the kids and doing all the rest of the stuff. But all right. So he says, you know what real tshuva, the ultimate tshuva is? A person who arrives at tshuva not because he no longer has the opportunity to do an avera, not because he doesn't have the energy to do any averas, not because he heard some great preacher say, repent before doomsday comes, and not because he saw somebody who did the same avera being punished. Sof Dovid, he says, nothing aroused him to tshuva except his inner self. You know what he's describing? He is describing a tshuva that flows from within the consciousness of a Jew. No coercion. No coercion. No, Rav Meisha was right. You don't have to go to Eretz Yisrael. I always, all right, I'll take out a minute for my description of what would happen to the students of Rav Meisha if he would have said that it's a mitzvah to go on Aliyah. So half of them would have found another Rav Shiva, and the half that would have remained with Rav Moshe would have found themselves lined up at ABC Trading on the east side, about a block away or two blocks away from Teferet Yerushalayim, buying all the things that they need for the lift that they're going to make. And you understand that they always say, you know, a 100 gallon fridge was the last time I'll ever be able to buy a fridge again. Poor guy doesn't know that it won't get into the plane or out of the plane, let alone get into his apartment or out of his apartment. And then I always say someday there's going to be an archaeologist who's going to make a study of Eretz Yisrael during this period of time, and as he digs into the ground below, he's going to find more ice cream makers and popcorn makers and every fashlugene electric whatchamacallit, because it's the last time we're going to buy it, now we'll never buy it again. And then they'll try and figure out what kind of society was here in those years. But they don't know about ABC trading on the East Side and what happens when you have to come on Aliyah. Aliyah is a father-son relationship. That's Ritzon Hashem. Tshuva, father-son relationship. We're talking about Ritzon Hashem. Building a mishkan is Ritzon Hashem. Harotzeh b'tshuva. Harotzeh b'tshuva. I'm going to go into a few extra minutes. Two more proofs on the first side. Number 6, I think, is the classic. I remember sitting at a wedding with a rav, a very chashid rav, and I told him over this medrash as a proof of what I was saying, and he was flying around. The soul who sins, the person who sins shall die. The medrash says, wisdom was asked, what is the punishment for a sinner? Wisdom is represented by Mishle. Mishle is wisdom. You know what Mishle says? The sinners, evil is going to pursue them. That's so true. Usually the worst suffering that the sinner, the criminal has, is the very crime he himself committed. The sin gives him no rest. No rest whatsoever. How many times do you read about a guy walking into the local police station after 20 years? I cannot tell a lie. I'm the guy who committed that crime. I committed that crime 20 years ago. And then all of a sudden, the moment he confesses, oy, there's a sense of such good feeling over him. He's free of the burden of sin. That's vidui. So Mishle says, Chatoyim Teradevro, Shalom and Nebuah, they ask prophecy. Mahu Onsho, Chote, the sinner, what is his punishment? This is Yecheskel. And this sounds, listen to the voice of the prophet booming out. Hanefesh Achotat Hi Tamud, the one who sins shall die. Shalulah Torah, they ask Torah, Chote Mahu Onsho. They ask Torah, what is the punishment for the sinner? And Torah says, Yavi Oshom v'yiskapel, let him bring a carbon, a sin offering, and he will be forgiven. Wait a minute. Why doesn't Torah say, if there's a mitzvah of tshuva, why doesn't Torah say, Yaseh tshuva? Because there is no mitzvah. When do we hear about tshuva? Shalulah Kodesh, Baruchu Chotei Ma'olam Shalei, is God, what is the punishment for the sinner? So he said, Yaseh tshuva, v'yiskapel, let him do tshuva. You know why Torah doesn't say do tshuva? Because there is no mitzvah of tshuva. You know why God does say do tshuva? Because God is talking to one of his kinderlach, and in the relationship between father and son, why? Do tshuva, I'm going to forgive you. What are you talking about? I have so much more to say that will have to come a few years down the line. We'll end with the famous statement of the Baalei HaKabbalah. The Baalei HaKabbalah says, you want to know the essence of Yom HaKippurim? Yom HaKippurim is a day Kippurim, like Purim. What an astounding statement. If you want to understand the meaning on the most serious, frightening, terrifying day of the world, in the year. You know what it's like? If you want to understand Yom Kippur, take a look at Purim. The most frivolous day of all. What do they mean? So I say the Gemara tells us that the joy of Yom Kippur was, of Purim was, that Torah, the Jews received at Sinai, they received it at Sinai as God holds the mountain over them and says, accept this Torah, otherwise that will be your end. And the Gemara says in the Sefer Shabbos, Hodor Kibluha, later they accepted Torah willingly in the days of Purim. Kimu, the Kiblu, a Yehudim, Aleim, Ba'alzaram, the Jews accepted upon themselves and their children Torah forever. So what's the essence of Purim? An act of free will. That's the essence of Yom HaKippurim, that we should be able to reach a point of tshuva on Yom Kippur, not out of terror, not out of fear, but on the contrary, by virtue of the sanctity of the fasting, the atmosphere. The shul is electric with Kedusha, and you want to be part of that. You want to feel close to Avinu Shabbos Shamayim. That's the essence of Yom Kippur, the fulfillment of Ritzon Hashem. Gemar Chassin, I tell you everybody, a good Kedusha. All right, listen, what can I do?